Hello and welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, playoff time. I'm your host, as always, Blake, joined by Tyler. And Tyler, you know, we have first round buys because we're the specials. And we have some theme music picked out for those who are cool. And we have theme music picked out for those who are not. Why don't you play our theme song, Tyler?
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in a world of cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind.
Perfect. Everybody loves it. And Rob's here too. Yeah, let's just listen to it.
Yeah, let's just listen to the Last Place Rob soundtrack.
How you feeling, Rob?
I mean, I literally do feel comfortably numb. In fact, when we got started with the woohoo, I was actually going to just go, yeah, whoa, fucking who? At least for this league. So yeah, I mean, here's the funny thing, and I think I told you guys this on Sunday. I scored my two highest weeks of the year, two wins in a row, and I'm still last place because freaking Kittle. But anyway, hey, everybody got paid, right?
Yeah, so that was fun. So yeah, earlier when I was like, I had to go record something with Tyler for the podcast, that was it.
Yeah. You enjoyed that? Oh, I enjoyed thoroughly. I'm sure everybody's loving the fact that the commissioner of the league, who's been in the money the entire length of the league, finally gets the goose. So everybody, yeah, it'll be fine.
Rob, do you want me to play your song again?
No, that's okay.
I'll do it.
No, that's okay. No, that's okay. Whoever wins gets to rename me. I'm hoping Ryan wins because I think he'll be the nicest to me. I certainly don't want Nick to win, that little piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, suck it hard.
Yeah, I've given him my curse. All his people have got corona or are hurt, so suck it. Yeah. Feel the wrath of Rob. Feel the wrath of Rob.
So, yeah, another year, another playoff. We've got we'll cover our playoff contenders this week. Obviously, you know, judging or with made clear, there we go. I got there eventually by our theme song. Tyler and I both have first round buys, so we won't be covering our teams. I've never been happier to have a first round buy in a playoff.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
Right? This year, so nice.
Oh, God. With what's happening this week?
Yeah.
Holy, yeah. This is the best time to have buys.
Yeah. I have one league where I'm in the middle where I either, you know, I have two leagues where I have buys. I have a couple of leagues where I didn't make the playoffs, but I have one league where I'm in the middle. And literally the roster turnover that I've done in the last 12 hours.
Oh, I'm sure it's been nutty.
Right. It's incredible.
All righty. So let's just jump straight into our news and notes section here.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right. That was special. Rob and I are going into the new bumpers that Tyler has created blind. So that was impressive. I enjoyed that.
Can you tell us part of it today?
Yeah. So what I'll start off with is the actual news. Came out last night. Urban Meyer fired. Everybody thought that it was going to... Oh, yeah?
We got to play another bumper for Urban Meyer.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody was pretty much under the impression, at least correct me if I'm wrong, that he was going to last till the end of the season. And then they're going to say about fucking cut and run. But last night, four games left.
Yeah, I exactly what you said. I thought he would last. You know, he was denying things, and there was, you know, to me, forget all of it. You know, he was kind of a dick, and it just goes to show you that in today's day and age, you know, somebody like him, somebody even like Jimmy Johnson back in the day, just can't come into the league the way it's set up and throw his weight around and expect NFL players to respond. I mean, that's just the way it is. This was bad from the start.
He was who we thought he was.
Thank you.
That's all. Thank but you. The best part, and I don't know if you guys saw this, I would put it in, but it's more of a visual thing, is at Daryl Bevel's press conference today, because he's the interim coach. One of the reporters goes, "Hey, so you know you have a pretty good chance at winning more games as an interim than Urban did as the head coach, right?" And Bevel just kind of side-eyed and smiled. And it's like, yeah, okay, there is no love lost.
You know, in our pick'ems, I actually picked Jacksonville to beat the Texans this
week. Oh, I did too. Because,
yeah, me too.
Because I think they like come out and are like that breath of fresh air, and they play loose.
Jacksonville 4-0 rest of the game this season.
Well, I won't go that far.
For dynasty purposes, what will actually be interesting is, you know, we say all the time that when these rookie quarterbacks come in, it's half themselves and half the situation they land in.
Right.
Let's see if we see an immediate turnaround with Trevor Lawrence. If all of a sudden, you know, maybe not immediate, but over these last four games, if he looks good or even decent, because he's had one touchdown in the last six games, like if he looks decent over these next four games, I think that's a huge boost to any dynasty managers of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I mean, they need to get him some help. And to be fair, I mean, I like him, but when your best player is an over 30 receiver, you know, you're not in Marvin Jones. You're not throwing to a bunch of superstars. They need to get somebody in the first round, a receiver, which is they should have done this last year, not gotten ETN, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, and that's another conversation for another day, but what happens between ETN and James Robinson going into next year? Because the new coaching staff is obviously going to look at this and go, well, this is an embarrassment of riches, but like this is going to be difficult to figure out.
Yeah.
I say you trade ETN because he's going to have capital, and I think I get out from under that, but that's just me.
Yeah. Do you still get the fifth round option if you trade him? Does the receiving team still get that?
I believe so.
Yes, because it's a first round contract. You're just trading the contract. Yes, they would. That's why I think he's very tradable, even though he was hurt. Somebody that could use him, you know, that doesn't already have a LaVisca Chenault. Obviously the new regime could use him completely different than what Meyer said he was going to use him as, which is what Chenault already was. So,
I mean,
anyway,
Miami,
highly possible because they need running back help like it's their job, which it is.
Alrighty. I guess there's, as far as injuries go, not a whole lot to talk about. Big one, DeAndre Hopkins went to IR with a knee injury.
He's done that's regular season, could be back in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a big one for fantasy because, you know, if you've got Hopkins, obviously you were hoping that now that he's back, now that Murray's back, they were going to fly. It hurts Murray a little bit. Maybe he runs more. I don't know. It raises the stock of the other guys there, Rondell Moore, Kirk, obviously AJ Green, if he can stay healthy throughout the playoffs. So, but – it hurts getting rid of it. It hurts him being out.
Yeah, it raises the ceiling of all of the pass catchers there, but does it raise your confidence at all of any of those guys?
No, not really. If anything, it makes John Connor James Connor. I always say John Connor.
He's in Terminator, Rob.
Follow me if you want to live. Yes, I always say that. Sorry, James Connor. It makes him more attractive, especially the way he's been playing.
All right. Any other injuries before I move on? I don't remember. I looked back and didn't really see a whole lot. There's a lot of people that are questionable. Aaron Rodgers suffered a setback with his toe. A lot of people not practicing this week. There's just a lot of things to list, but most people should play.
Yes. I don't think there's anybody that like was ruled out already. I do think was Waller already ruled out for the weekend? Darren Waller. I think that was one who's been injured. I think he was already ruled out.
He's already ruled out.
So that's one. And okay, so I know other people ruled out, but it wasn't for injury, so we'll skip that for now.
Yeah, speaking of people who ruled out, I mean, COVID is destroying the league. I would say about, you know, half of the players in the NFL are out with COVID this week.
I mean, it seems that way. It's not. Yeah,
I think it's
a small percentage.
That may be hyperbolic, but yeah.
Yeah, the Bears, the Browns, the Rams, to name a few, like most of their team is done or down with COVID right now.
I mean, that's the problem with it. It circulates within meeting rooms and all that. So they're all those teams are on protocol where they're doing everything virtually. But a lot of people out. They did, since I'm talking about it, they did change. The NFL did change updated protocols today that instead of having to have two tests, as long as you go with no symptoms for 24 hours and one negative test, you're eligible to play. So they've relaxed that, but they've created more separation for players and coaches in any indoor meetings and group spaces going forward to try to, regardless of whether they're vaccinated or not, to try to mitigate people actually getting COVID. But then they're saying, yeah, when you're negative, we're not going to have to wait so long.
Yeah, that'll help a lot of people with getting cleared to play sooner than they would have been before. So,
right, especially especially if they're vaccinated and they are just a close contact kind of thing, where they're not going to have to go that full time. And also for people who get false tests, like Tyler Higbee did Monday night, under this new thing, he would have actually played rather than getting cleared Tuesday. He would have played Monday. So.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go through all the players that are fantasy relevant that are out because there's just too damn many.
Tons of starters. Yeah. Most of Cleveland. Cleveland's down to their third string quarterback.
Yep. And we'll touch on that stuff as we go through the couple matchups we're hitting today. So I got nothing else as far as news and notes. Ready to move on to transactions?
Transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
Yeah, I love it. That's fantastic. Not a ton to touch on here. A lot of league movement, especially from Testicle T, whose team has been decimated over the last 7 days.
Made the only moves except for me.
Yeah.
I made one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did.
But everything is a $0 bid.
And Kicker Points Matter dropped Michael Carter today. So that was a thing.
Yeah. So wow. Not a ton to talk about. We'll obviously talk about Testicle T's team as we hit his matchup today. Definitely looks a lot different than it did a week ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
Isn't that the norm with his team?
It is.
Right. I mean, eight transactions will do that in a week.
We did get the weekly chasing points pickup from Nick.
Which one?
Kim Grant.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. The Jakeem Grant pickup.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, nice. You got to chase the points when you have them.
Well, he'll always chase the points when it's a bear.
Jakeem Grant has scored, let's see, 39, 41, 40, 44 total points this year, and 39 of them are in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely worth an ad for sure.
Oh, why not, right? All right.
Yeah, not a lot to hit on here, so we can jump straight into our weekly recap with our picks and whatnot with Tyler.
Choose your character.
Sorry, I had a really hard time finding one for that.
It worked for me.
I was trying to find like gambling stuff. It just wasn't. It wasn't happening. Last week, Robin Blake both went 3-2. The Dice and I went 2-3. So overall, Blake is a half game up on me for second place, and I am looks like two and a half games up on the Dice for last. And Rob is like three games up on Blake for first
this year.
Yep.
Cool. I'm just glad to get out of the dice.
Wow. And that's picking against myself every week.
Well, that's certainly increased your lead.
Yes. Well, 2 weeks I wanted to vote for myself, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And it was the last 2 weeks that I won.
Terrible.
I know, right? I should have, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Let's see. How are we doing overall? For as long as we've been doing
picks? Overall?
Overall, Rob is 166 and 100
for a
624 winning percentage. Blake is 161 and 106 for a 603 winning percentage. I am 156 and 110 for a 586 win percentage. And the dice are 34 and 30 for a 531 win percentage.
Okay, so you're not that far from me, Blake.
No, I'm not.
All right.
All righty. It's going to be a short podcast today. I mean, well, we're only covering two matchups because everybody else is worthless. And Tyler and I, like I said, are special and we don't get a matchup today.
What? You don't care about the Whitefish Scary Terry matchup?
Don't make me play your intro again, Rob.
I'll do it.
I'll be good. Yeah,
go ahead and just play it again. Just so
You got it.
No, it's fine. Nate, you asshole, stop laughing.
Oh, that's so much fun. So, yeah, we're going to go into our first of two matchups here today.
All right.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
All right, that's a nice abrupt end. I'm glad we have these this week, Tyler, because we really need to pad the runtime on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, no,
these are. I wish we had these all year. These are fucking gold.
Oh, don't worry, I'll save them.
Oh my goodness. These are awesome.
All righty. Our first matchup today is going to be Testicle T and Christian Sunday School. Both these teams sitting at 7-7. T's chances looking grim, to be frank. Yeah. Currently, Sunday School has a 64% chance to win. Just heading these quarterbacks. So T is going to have Taysom Hill at Tampa Bay versus Justin Herbert home against Kansas City.
Boy. So,
yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
We said it last week. Taysom Hill for our league is not the Taysom Hill of other leagues. He's going to be in that 20 some point range. He was at 29 points last week, and that's with that 55 yard touchdown run at the end of the game, which got him a lot more. Look, in any other league where there's not the bonuses, Taysom Hill has never been less than a QB1. In our league, he has. Give me Justin Herbert.
Yeah, 100% true. This is not the week to play him against Tampa Bay, who's great against the run.
But Jalen Hurts actually had a good game on the ground against them earlier.
Don't care. T has better options than this. He's chasing awesomeness when he should play people on his bench, which we'll get to. But this is easy Herbert by a mile.
Yeah, I don't want – I'm disagreeing with you, Rob. I think the matchup is actually okay for Taysom. It's just
really?
Our league.
Yeah, I don't like it. All right.
All righty. Running backs. Elijah Mitchell against Atlanta, who's sitting at questionable right now, and Josh Jacobs at Cleveland for T versus Chuba Hubbard at Buffalo and Najee Harris home against Tennessee.
I mean, you want to talk about not a good matchup in our league? Chuba Hubbard, perfect. That Buffalo run defense is awesome, and I don't think there's a chance in hell Chuba hits the bonus here. That being said, Najee is good, really good. Josh Jacobs against a really decimated Cleveland defense should be a slam dunk play, and if Elijah Mitchell plays, he should be great as well. assuming Mitchell plays, give me Mitchell and Jacobs. And we'll see what Nick has on the bench to replace Mitchell if he doesn't play. But I think that would flip to Harris and Hubbard if he doesn't play.
Agree 100%. It all depends on Mitchell. I'm worried about Josh Jacobs. He had such a terrible game last week. I don't like the way Vegas has been playing lately, to be fair. I do love Najee, but Hubbard against Buffalo is, like you said, it's just scary. So I'll agree with you and go with Mitchell and Jacobs, assuming that Mitchell's fine.
Here's the thing with Jacobs in two games, because Drake broke his ankle mid-game 2 weeks ago, right?
Correct.
In two games without Drake, Jacobs has 14 receptions. Receptions, I mean, not targets.
That's making up for his lack of rushing, I guess.
Right.
Yep.
All righty, out of receivers, Testicle T has Michael Pittman Jr. against New England and Gabriel Davis against Carolina, both at home, versus Justin Jefferson on the road in Chicago and Hunter Renfro on the road in Cleveland.
All right, so this is easy. It's Jefferson and Renfro. Renfro's been a target monster, and Jefferson is Jefferson. Pittman, I guess it depends if New England wants to take the running game out or take Pittman out, and Gabriel Davis is just a dart throw. So,
ooh, I actually really,
I mean, I like Davis because Emmanuel Sanders might be out, but yeah. I like Carolina's defense enough that I think it's a throw.
Okay, 100%. Yeah, then I 100% agree with you then.
Yeah, I got you.
Yep, pretty easy. Jefferson and Renfro. What has been Renfro's targets this season?
Renfro's targets the last 3 weeks, 9, 10, been, 14.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since Waller has been out, because Waller's basically been out since the bye, right?
Right.
In week 8.
Yes.
9, 9, 4, 9, 10, 14.
Yeah. And he's out again this week. So it's going to be Renfro.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's averaging like 9 or 10 targets a game.
I love the memes. That is like one of these receivers has been wide receiver 3 over the past 7 weeks. One of them has been wide receiver 67. And it's Hunter Renfro, who just looks like an accountant, and DK Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
Who's just shredded.
I thought it was going to be Tyreek Hill, actually.
No.
When you said that.
It's DK.
Okay, because he's
and
close.
And it's the pictures of him, you know, pre-draft when he had his shirt.
Oh, yeah, when he's all.
It's just like, yeah.
He's all buff and shit.
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
Alrighty, tight ends. David Njoku, home against Vegas for T, and then Travis Kelce at the Chargers.
All right, so
I may be in a silly, goofy mood, Rob.
I am too. Oh, don't.
Give me Njoku.
So my silly, goofy mood is that Njoku's going to be the only guy there, and that quarterback's got to throw to somebody.
And Mullins.
Mullins
always used the tight end when he was and granted it was Kittle, but.
And the other tight ends are out with the Cove.
Yep.
He's the only game in town.
Yeah, there's no Landry there.
And Kelce's been, you know, okay lately, but not. I don't
Kelce's
think they
been
have
5
to,
points and 5 points the last 2 weeks.
Right? So, are we crazy?
Yes, but like reasonably crazy, I guess. Like,
you know what I almost did today? I almost picked up Njoku for giggles and shits.
Yeah.
Actually, just to keep him from T because he's a dick. No, kidding, Nick. That was just a kid. Yeah. Give me Njoku. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I mean, I do know why, but it's crazy. All right.
I'll agree with you guys just for the chaos factor of it.
Why not, right?
Flexes. We've got Chase Claypool home against Tennessee and Jakeem Grant against Minnesota. For T versus DJ Moore, sitting at questionable at Buffalo, and then T Higgins at Denver.
Look, as much as we gave Nick shit about chasing the points, I get why he's doing it here. Chase Claypool has a great matchup against Tennessee. I think he gets off of his mini Schneid. And Minnesota is fucking terrible against receivers. So, I mean, if there's no more shots to take, plus Robinson just got put on the COVID list. So.
Correct.
I haven't heard. I assume Mooney isn't, but
not that I've heard. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get why you're taking the shot here. DJ Moore, who knows who the quarterback is going to be there. But I don't trust him. And Buffalo is fucking awesome against receivers. And, Higgins, Denver's also good against receivers. It's just whether it's a him game or a chase game.
Right.
Give me Claypool and Grant.
Oh, God, you have to be kidding me. You know, I'm going to go more on Higgins just to be contrarian. I just can't.
All right. Just kind of scrolling here. Tie defenses, Titans at Pittsburgh for T, and then Patriots at Indy for Sunday school.
I mean, I'm going Patriots because they've been great on defense all year. I know Indy can make a mistake on offense. Obviously, so can Pittsburgh, and Titans may get a lot of sacks, but it's really even. Give me just a slight edge to the Patriots. Both are on the road.
100% yeah. Agree.
I mean, both are on the road. If one of these was at home, I'd give them the edge.
All right, so benches. I'm looking at T's bench right now. There's a quarterback question for sure. You've got Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray sitting on the bench. Also, I want to toss this in there and have you guys talk about it. Braxton Berrios at Miami instead of Jakeem Grant. Elijah Moore just went on the COVID list as well.
Miami's also really bad, but Elijah Moore was already on IR. But Miami is also really bad against the against receivers. Duke Johnson might actually end up being the play here because he could be the last only running back standing for Miami. And if he is, then he's an easy play. Yeah, you got to play Kyler. Get the fuck out of here. Don't get
killed. Yeah, 100% true. Play Kyler. That's what I meant at the beginning. Yeah, you're playing Kyler, not Taysom Hill. Come on. Yeah,
and I mean, what's really hurting Nick here is McLaurin, even if he's playing, Philly's awesome against receiver. And are you going to trust him with maybe not with Heinicke maybe hurt? I think you almost have to sit him. And yep. Waddle just hit the COVID list, so I don't think he'll be playing. I think that's all. I think that's close enough. That
yes, yeah, he's out. He's out. Out.
Oh no, he's not out. Out with the new rules. So we still have to see on him.
Oh, you're true. You're true. But did he? Was he close contact or test?
I'm not sure, but I think as of right now, Kyler has to be in. Duke Johnson has to be in on a preliminary standpoint, and you watch to see what happens.
Right.
But as it stands, I'm getting whoever you like least out of Pittman and Davis. I think you're benching and getting Berrios in. And it's gross, but or even Treadwell. I mean, because Treadwell's been the one down there. But who knows what's going to happen with, you know, without Herbs down there. I don't know. I mean, Pittman has the upside, but. Who do you think they're going to try to shut down? Do you think they just...
I don't know. I would assume they tried to stop the run. I would assume that because that's been the driver for Indy, right?
Right.
So I would assume that, but...
All righty. So Sunday school's bench. Do you play Deonta Foreman over Chuba Hubbard?
Yes.
100%. Yes,
I think that's a guaranteed play.
Yeah, I would, but Green Bay's really good on defense, but they're susceptible to the run.
They're playing Pittsburgh.
Deonta Foreman. Oh, I'm sorry.
Deonta Foreman is the lead back for Tennessee.
And I did not hear right.
I think has given up three or four straight weeks of top five running back performance. I would play him
for sure. He had a terrible game last week, and he still scored a touchdown, which made him viable. So, yes.
Is there anything else you changed? That was the only one that I really saw.
Beasley, I think, should be in there somewhere, especially with Emmanuel Sanders out.
Yeah. I tell you what, DJ Moore, if there's an issue there, especially since it's, like you said, against Buffalo, I think I'd rather – play a Beasley against Carolina than a hurt DJ Moore against Buffalo.
Yep.
Just for the targets alone. Yeah.
Alrighty. Who are we taking here?
Who's first? Dice? Oh,
let's go Tyler. I'll decide on what dice we're using.
All right.
I'll tell you what, this matchup I think is a lot closer than the projections have it.
Yeah, I do too.
But as it stands now, Christian Sunday School just has too many options that they could go with. And I think especially if you get Chuba Hubbard out of there, that solidifies your running back core. And at that point, I would think you win quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. And then it comes down to the bottom half of the lineups. And I don't think that can swing it. So give me CSS.
Rob?
I don't like to agree, but I'm going to. And the reason is CSS has people that actually have an upside of like astronomical, where T does not. If T gets the best out of his players, he's going to get middling. The fact that Christian Sunday School has Herbert, Jefferson, and Kelsey, all of those could go off for big numbers, which could carry his team. So
right. CSS's upside is 200 points.
Yes.
And now granted, if this is a low scoring game, then, you know, T is certainly going to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just going to take a little bit for CSS to fall down to that category. Yep,
right. Too much has to go right for T to win.
So, all right. I agree with you guys. I'm going to go CSS as well.
All right.
The dice we're using this week is a D6, and it will roll a 4.
That's going to be T.
Oh, my God.
And we should say that CSS is going to hold the Commissioner's Cup until next year.
Yeah.
Because
yes, the Commissioner's Cup is a regular season. He had it the last week, right?
Yep.
All right.
All right. Our second of two matchups is the 7-7 Kegerator versus our 8-5-1 Fighting Hedgehogs. Currently, 62% chance for the Hogs to win this one. We all know Nate's going to blow it.
I don't know. Nate really likes to make it to the second round and then choke.
Well, quarterback, he's going to have Aaron Rodgers, questionable with the toe injury at Baltimore, versus the Hogs as Pat Mahomes at the Chargers.
Boy, I'll tell you what. The only thing I'm concerned about with Rodgers is whether they're going to have to do a lot against Baltimore without Lamar Jackson. You know, if they only have to put up 17 points to win, you know, I wonder if they play it safe with him and it's more of a running game. So as it stands right now, give me Patrick Mahomes. Plus Mahomes has been way better on the road this year.
I mean, true. The Chargers are a run funnel defense though.
Yep. But does that really mean like you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have a game against the Chargers? I don't think so. Like, I mean,
the combo of him and Williams may.
Right.
I agree. This is one of those spots where Mahomes is going to have 4 and 350 because he just does. I'm going to give the edge, but I won't be surprised if it's the other way.
No, definitely not.
All right.
All righty. Running backs. Aaron Jones, questionable in the same game. And then Antonio Gibson at Philly versus Jonathan Taylor against the Patriots, and then Cordero Patterson at San Francisco.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit earlier with Taylor. Does New England take that running game out? So that makes a difference. Patterson is beginning his consistent numbers. You know, teens in carries, 60-some yards, about 5 receptions, 30 to 40, maybe a touchdown. I mean, he's going to get his points. Especially in San Francisco, he will get his points. I like Gibson. They've been having to use him, and Kisses is still out. Oh God, I heard a bad report about Jones today. So I'm worried there.
Would you like to enlighten us?
Well, I mean, he's questionable, and I don't exactly recall, but I'm leaning that this might be more of an AJ Dillon game. So right now I'm going to give it to Taylor and Patterson.
Yeah. I was going to push it until you said what you said about, Jones. And so if there's a question mark there in a push, give me the other side.
All righty. Receivers, Debo Samuel against Atlanta, and then Brandon Cooks at Jacksonville versus Devontae Adams at Baltimore. A lot of Green Bay's in this game or this matchup, and then Hollywood Brown against Green Bay.
Oh, this is Debo and Cooks. Oh, gross. I mean, Debo has been, we all know, outstanding when he's played this year. He's wide receiver 4, and he's missed, he missed a full game plus, you know, a couple other halves. And Brandon Cooks has been good with Davis Mills. Last game, 11 targets, 8 for 101 against Seattle. Jacksonville isn't, you know, anything to super write home about on defense. Obviously, Devontae is going to get his, but I worry about Hollywood Brown without Lamar. So that's the difference for me.
God. Yeah. I mean, I really want to go Devontae and Brown. that my first reaction is that's where I want to go. But yeah, Debo has been, because of his rushing and the fact that he can take a little sweep and go for 40 yards on a rush for a touchdown. I got to go. Yeah. Debo and Cooks. I'm sorry. You're right.
Ugh. So in the last three games that Debo Samuel has played, he scored 15, 20, and then 12 last week. In those three games, he has three catches.
I know.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Imagine if he gets six catches in a game and does that still. Yeah.
The number four receiver, number four receiver on the year, three catches in the last three games played. Wild. Oh, and I just closed the window, but he's got like five touchdowns in the last three games he's played.
It's gross. Yeah.
Tight ends are Tyler Higbee against Seattle and then Mark Andrews against Green Bay.
Andrews don't care who's playing.
Yeah, I mean, I am concerned about the backup quarterback Seattle is hot garbage against tight ends, but yeah, it's got to be Andrews. Tight end one on the year.
Yeah.
There is a lot of this matchup in this playoff game that's going to be decided by the Green Bay-Baltimore game Sunday afternoon.
Right.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
It's going to be decided in that game.
And how about what Tyler said there as an aside? Tight end one on the year, Mark Andrews. Who thought that going into this year? Nobody.
I mean, I certainly think when it came out that he signed the extension before the year started, I certainly think that showed that he's a huge part of that offense.
Oh, but, yes.
But Kittle's been tight end one for the last 5 years. And so I think that's the biggest thing is you either thought that Kittle was going to remain in that spot or he was going to, or Andrews was going to get leapfrogged by
Kelsey. You mean Kelsey?
Yeah. Yeah. Kelsey was going to remain in that spot or Andrews was going to get leapfrogged by like Hockenson or something like that.
Right. If he didn't get hurt or have shitty quarterback play or shitty everything play.
Flexes Darnell Mooney against Minnesota and an out Miles Gaskin for Kegerator and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the Chargers and then Christian Kirk at Detroit for Hogs.
I mean, we already talked about the run funnel defense. So I do like Edwards-Helaire this week. We already know, we talked earlier, I think we did, about the fact that Hopkins is out. So Kirk becomes something at Detroit. So for me, this is easy. This is Edwards-Helaire and Kirk.
So
it
to fill that
could be if Gaskin is back.
I mean, the Jets do suck.
He should get all the work. And yeah, the Jets are terrible.
But here's the thing. Malcolm Brown was activated off the injured list this week.
Yeah, but if Gaskin's back, I don't think he's ceding a ton of work to Brown.
There have been reports out of Miami that all signs point to him maybe starting this week. Because they've been disappointed in their running game, and he might get the start. So I'm just worried about Gaskin.
Gaskin was put on the COVID list today, so I don't know, it might be kind of tight to get him in there, but looking at filling in that spot, I'm going to dip into that now. I think you've got three options and they're all receivers on your bench.
Right. I think he needs to do that. I don't think you can take a chance on Gaskin.
Yeah. It's Russell Gage, Robbie Anderson, or Adam Thielen if he's playing.
Yeah. Okay. So as it sits, I got to go a layer.
We're not Devontae Parker. He's going to be because Waddle's now on the COVID IR.
Yes.
So, I think you're two options. I don't even put Robbie in there. Obviously, if Thielen plays, he's in the lineup. But for me, it's Parker or
Boom.
And man, that's tough. I think I go Parker though.
I would too. With what they're missing.
Yeah, Gage has looked good recently. I think he's definitely a pretty solid option. So just to round out our matchup or starting lineups here, defense, Chiefs at the Chargers for Keg versus the Bills against Carolina.
Both are great options, but give me the Bills because Carolina is figuring out who they're starting.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean.
All right. Anything else to touch on for Keg's bench?
No, I think we went through it all.
Okay. Yeah. And then let's talk about Hogs. I haven't looked at them yet.
I mean,
if Sanders is playing, I don't think you can fit him in there over Kirk or CEH.
No.
No, I think you're saying the best lineup here.
Yeah, I think Hoggs has got what he should play.
Crowder over Brown?
Or
Kendrick Bourne over Brown? I'm just – the holes I see in this lineup are mainly Hollywood Brown.
So here's what I might do. There's a possibility Ronald Jones might get the start this week. So I might move Christian Kirk to my starting wide receiver, take Marquise Brown out, and put Ronald Jones in the flex. That would be the only thing I would do if it came to the weekend and Fournette wasn't playing. That would be the only thing I would change.
All righty. Let's see. I'm just looking at one more thing. Yeah. All right. Yep. I'm going to agree with you on that one.
All right.
So let's go reverse order here. Dice first. Four again. Taking Keg. I am going to take the Hogs.
Okay.
Rob
next. Hogs also. Yes, please.
Yeah, I have to take Hogs. For the same reason we said, there's just way too much that has to go right for Kegerator to win this. The places where he's strong, Hogs is equally strong, if not stronger.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and where he's weak, Hogs has got a counter. So.
Right.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. Next week after the byes, we'll have a little bit more to talk about, right? There'll be more matchups. There'll
still only be two matchups.
Only two, yeah.
You're right. Yep. I'm bad at math.
And then the next week, there'll only be one.
What? How does that work? That's crazy.
But we'll still have all these bumps, so that'll be awesome.
Yeah. All righty. If there's nothing else, we'll enjoy your weekend, everybody.
We'll see. There may be more for next week.
Ooh.
Did not get unveiled this week.
Oh. Oh. And hope everybody survived the wind. And speaking of the wind, Huey Lewis, take us out, baby.